Hi, I'm Juliet, the founder and director of Pineapple Audio Production, and welcome back to the Podcasting Playbook. We're really lucky to be supported by some incredible businesses at Pineapple, so I just want to take a minute here to thank Leo Bites, who make incredible raw freeze-dried crisps. You've got to try the strawberry ones, they are amazing. And Audio Boom, one of the leading podcast publishers who help get your podcast to Apple, Spotify, and the rest. We use them for tons of our content distribution, so we are big, big fans. On today's episode, we are so excited to have Ellie with us, who produces the Consent to Treat podcast. Ellie and I have worked together a few times this year in a consultancy capacity, so that means we've spent a couple of hours together over Zoom talking all things podcasting and making changes to what she and her presenter, Rachel, are doing to improve their podcast. And I've absolutely loved seeing them grow so far. Hi, Ellie. So, would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get on to today's topics?
All right. So my name is Ellie Hebert. I am the producer and editor of Consent to Treat. I also am kind of transitioning into this role of managing Rachel Sievers, who's the host of Consent to Treat. And she has a lot going on right now. So yeah, I'm doing all the things behind the scenes.
I love that. I love that phrase. I use that a lot, actually, behind the scenes stuff, because when you start talking about podcasting, people a lot kind of assume that you're the front of it. So I use that phrase a lot too. I like it.
Yes. Yeah. There's so much more than just the talking.
Right. Exactly. And it's good to have an appreciation for that, which is kind of the point of this podcast, really. So tell us how you ended up here then, because I know you've done a lot of things along the way and you've got a huge amount of skill in audio, but how did you end up working on Consent to Treat, which is, by the way, a genuinely brilliant podcast. I'm very, very proud to have worked with you on it.
Oh, thank you. I'm so obsessed with it. So I started doing video stuff in eighth grade, and all through high school, that became my entire like being. I knew from a really early age that I wanted to be, are you ready for it? A video teacher.
Wow.
In ninth grade is when I decided I want my dream job is going to be a video teacher. So I did video all through high school. And then when I talked to my video teacher about how do I get his job, he was like, you're so much better than this. Don't even think about it. I'm not even going to tell you how to get this job. And then I was like, okay, so what's next? And he said, go to film school. So I went to Cal State Northridge and got my degree in editing. The summer of my junior year, I got an internship at a company called Bunim Murray Productions, which is the creator of reality television. Their first show was Real World, which was the first reality television. And since then, they have a big, big list of shows. So I got my internship there, worked my ass off. It was an unpaid internship. So I was actually homeless in LA for a while and sleeping on couches and stuff. And then luckily I got a job and I worked through my senior year of college at Bunim Murray in post-production, worked my way up the ladder, was there for about 3 or 4 years. I went to freelance editing. So this entire time I'm assistant editing, online assistant editing, office managing, media managing, all the really techie stuff. And I really, really loved the work I was doing, but I did not love the culture in LA of always feeling like my job was going to be ripped out from under me if I didn't do my absolute best. And I hated the traffic. And I didn't like that the relationships I had built with people outside of the people I moved there with were really phony. So I one day was looking up, or my husband was looking up jobs, video teaching jobs back in our hometown, and video teacher job opened up. I applied, I got the job, and boom, I'm 27 years old. I got my dream job. I'm the video teacher. And I started seeing Rachel actually when I moved back to Visalia from LA. And she was my therapist for 3.5 years. And she had mentioned that she might be doing a podcast. You know, another client had said, you'd be great on a podcast. And I was like, yes, Rachel, you'd be amazing on a podcast. Like, please, please, please pursue that. And so once she started to pursue it, it kind of lined up oddly with she was transitioning out of being a licensed psychotherapist into life coaching. And my video teacher insurance wouldn't cover her. So I asked, maybe I can still get sessions and edit your podcast for you. And she was like, I was going to ask you that same thing on the same day that I asked her that. And then it's like history. Since then, I started editing, but then I transitioned into the audio production role when our first co-host, Heather, she left the podcast. She was doing all of the recording. And so, yeah. And boom, here we are. It's like only been 2 years, but I am quitting teaching.
Yeah, this is the exciting thing now, right? Is this the journey continues?
Yeah, exactly. So I, you know, for so long, video teaching was my dream job, and it's just not anymore. There's a lot to teaching that I didn't anticipate, and I don't feel like a boss bitch there. When I'm working on Consent to Treat and I'm working with Rachel, I feel like the boss bitch that I am. So I'm really excited.
So tell us then what this, I'm excited for your new life in podcasting, by the way. And wow, like what a journey you've had to get there. But it's kind of interesting, isn't it? All the skills that you've built definitely are useful and are leading you to what you're going in to do now. So tell me what that's going to be like. It's going to be a big transition, right?
Yeah, 100%. I don't think I could have done this without having taught. I've taught now for 7 years, and there's a lot that I've gotten out of teaching as far as time management and being really organized and the skills to talk in front of a lot of people, kind of coming out of that post-production office bay life. I, as a teacher, have had to learn every single thing about video production, where before I was just really super focused on editing. Those skills have transferred over beautifully to here, where as the producer manager, I already have to do video work, editing work, audio production, like purchasing equipment, all of that stuff that I've been doing. And so even though it is going to be a huge jump, and I'm really scared about it because teaching has incredible health benefits. Teaching in Visalia gives me a really comfortable lifestyle. And I know I'll always have a job. I get summers off, you know, winter break, spring break off. So it is leaving a lot, but I feel really ready for this. And I just have this whole time working on Consent to Treat have had this feeling like this is going to be big. This is a ship I need to get on right now. And so I'm just going to follow that. And I don't know why. I just know it's going to work out.
Yeah, I had a similar feeling actually when I met you guys originally. And we've done a couple of sessions together and kind of kept in touch, haven't we? I want to say for maybe almost a year now. When I saw what you guys were doing and the attitude that you have and obviously your experience, it really does It makes itself clear in the production, but also, you know, the content that you're putting out there. I agree. I had the same feeling like, oh, this is something I really want to be involved in. It's like all female production, like making things happen, really helping people, shining a light on what, you know, the therapy room can be like, or that kind of coaching element of things can be like. And it's very, very cool content. So I agree with you. I have no kind of doubt that you guys are going to only grow from where you are now, which is why it's been amazing to be involved with you.
Well, thank you. And I just want to say, like, the feeling of it being big, we've gotten that a lot. Like, I feel it in my bones. Rachel feels it in her bones. And the people that we talk to all say the same thing. Yeah, it feels really large. So it's kind of interesting.
It is interesting. You know, maybe it is a vibe, but I also think it really genuinely has a lot to do with your production and what you're adding to it. And also the passion from both of you. So the video side of things I get, like it sounds like you had that innate, like, this is what I want to do. I know I want to do it. But how about transitioning into a more audio-based thing? Like, how did you find your love for that versus also making sure that the video side of things is obviously your passion?
Oh, I freaking love it. I have always been really interested in audio production and Pro Tools specifically. When I was working at Buna Murray as an online editor, our office was right across the hallway from the Pro Tools editors. And I remember a lot, like standing behind their door, just like looking at all of the pretty tracks and talking to them about Pro Tools. And when I started teaching, like 3 or 4 years in, I was like, I want to teach a Pro Tools class and I want to really focus on audio production and that kind of stuff. Because with students, that's like, oh, it's lacking so bad as the audio side of things. Yeah, I think a lot of video teachers and students are really focused on the video side, but the audio side comes last. And so I've always, to answer your question, I've always been interested in it. And now editing audio is so fun to me because I don't have to worry about the video part, which is like the hardest part. I can be really, really creative with how I move parts around and how I can, you know, not that I do that in their sessions at all, but for our mini episodes and the commentary afterwards, I do. And I don't have to worry about jump cuts or, you know, like B-roll and graphics and all that stuff. So I'm actually able to just focus on the narrative, focus on the quality of the audio. And that to me has been really fun. I love it.
I understand that. Like it's that for me, it's a very relaxing thing actually. And I have that same love for Pro Tools. I think like since day one, I've been obsessed with it, learning it, trying to understand it. There's always something new to learn. In production, you do seem to find like people do have that sense of like, oh, I just really want to get in there and edit this audio. And it's a nice feeling. It's a relaxing feeling. It definitely is that way for me. And what about podcasting in general? Like, so obviously you kind of got into this podcast via an interesting means because you were, you know, in therapy with Rachel and then it transitioned. It sounds very naturally. Podcasting in general, like what is it for you that does something different to say audio for film or radio or, you know, another style of audio?
I love the idea that people can listen to a podcast as they're doing other things. I think it's so cool that I can wash my dishes, pick up my house, and learn something or listen to a really cool story. If I'm, you know, going way back to doing my house, like painting a room, I can paint a room and be entertained. And that is what I really love about podcasting. And there are so many different things to learn about. And I think one thing that we offer that nobody else does is what does therapy and counseling sound like? Like nobody knows until you actually go. That kind of learning is the thing that draws me most to podcasting is I can learn and I can drive my car.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you hit on something with the kind of the understanding of what therapy can be like, maybe for people who would love to do it and just aren't sure what it would, you know, really be like, to give them the window into that. And also just to offer some knowledge and some like camaraderie, right? Because I think it's that sense of like, we can often experience similar things. Rachel has a really nice way of making that. Things just seem totally normal and okay. And that's what therapy is all about really, isn't it? But it's great to see that window to it through what you guys are doing. You are right. It's so different to a lot of what's out there.
Absolutely. I can listen to episodes that we've done in the past and always find something to relate to. Our episodes really affect my life. I mean, in John's recent 2 episodes, he gets a job and then he quits on Christmas Eve. And hearing Rachel talk him through that, it's like she's talking to me. It's like it is my counseling session. I'm going to quit my job with John. Listening to Tracy talk about her kids and her husband problems. You know, my husband and I have a really strong relationship. We're not even close to divorcing, but I can relate to her so hard on being like, what are you doing, man, on your phone? Come on, the kids are right here.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people could, right?
Yes, exactly. That's a beautiful thing. We really have that going on in 2 ways. You get to know what counseling is like, and you can relate to every single one of our clients. At least I can in some way. So it's like you're getting your own counseling session for the issues that you're going through. And I just think that's so cool. That is why I'm so passionate about this and about our idea. It's really cool.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think it's true of what you're doing and it's true of podcasting in general that it's kind of like a friend that you can really confide in and learn from. You can go to podcasting and ask those questions you might not want to ask your actual friends in real life and get the answers. And you guys definitely have the answers to some of the stuff that, you know, is potentially more challenging for people to talk about in day-to-day life. It's amazing. So let's talk about the stuff we've been doing together because I've really loved it. You know, I love spending time with podcasters. I love getting to help, you know, getting to help you and Rachel just to elevate what you've been doing has been a genuine joy. And even better for me that you've come back to me and said like, this stuff has worked. Like we're seeing things change. It's like, wow, for me, that's just the ultimate that I can help in that way. And we're on the other side of the world, right? It's 9 p.m. for you. It's 8 a.m. for me. And we're still making this stuff work. And we have done across our sessions. So yeah, maybe we can just talk a little bit about what that's been like for you.
It's been great. I'm so glad that we found you. It's been worth every single penny because Rachel had never listened to a podcast, has never listened to a podcast besides us. So, and I was very, very loyal to like two podcasts. I would only listen to these two. So between the two of us, we had listened to two podcasts. So going into this, we really are working off of the feeling like we know this is big, we believe in us, but the technical stuff and the podcasting world, like we don't have a clue. And I don't have the patience to sift through hundreds of different YouTube videos. I'm a busy gal. I'm not going to do that. So I tried to do other things like, you know, YouTube and ask around. And it's like nobody is listening to our podcast and giving us direct feedback and instruction for us. A YouTube video doesn't help me in any of that. So what has been wonderful is you listen to our podcast and you come in with ideas that we would have never even thought about. And on top of that, I can ask you the technical questions like, hey, what kind of mic is the best? Because if you Google that, you're not going to get an answer. So it's twofold for me and Pineapple why I love you guys so much is number one, you guys can answer the technical nitty-gritty questions for me. And two, you guys bring ideas to the table that we would have never thought of because we are just trying to make this the best it can be. We are not in the business right now yet of being able to like have big expansion ideas because we're both working full time and we're both moms and it's enough work just to get it recorded and edited and published weekly. You know, coming to you with our questions, hearing your ideas and being like, oh, that's such a good idea. Let's do it. And then we do it and it's like really good. And in fact, the last consultation we had, you had mentioned, you know, we want to sell Rachel. We're in the business of selling Rachel. And that has kind of been the thing that we circle back to when we have a new idea. Juliet, sell Rachel. People want you. People want your story. People want to hear what you have to say. And that has been really great for both of us.
Oh, I'm so pleased. I'm so pleased. It's such a joy, actually. I mean, it's such a joy to work with you guys. And that's really, you've explained it very well. Like how we've worked together is you've said like, let's have an hour. We'll literally chat on Zoom ahead of time. You'll send me a load of questions. I'll have a look at those questions and then we'll just talk. We'll just talk them all through, chat through ideas, chuck things around. Like I'll make suggestions. And then, yeah, the cool thing for me is I think you guys have really gone away and done it. Like you've really gone away and done it. You've just made it happen. And I know pre us getting into this recording, you were telling me that today you've had a live event. So share.
Yeah, we had our first live talk. It was with the National Association of Professional Mortgage Women at their luncheon. And Rachel did a talk on how to turn your weaknesses into superpowers. We did this thing where we put a rock on everybody's table and we asked them to put their weakness into that rock and separate it from themselves. And there was like a worksheet with it. And she went through a bunch of questions and shared her own weaknesses. And it was really, really cool. And you know what? It didn't make us any money yet. But I believe that in that room, there were people who were really affected. And watching that was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And seeing people take their rocks home was awesome.
I love that whole concept. I might do that. I might do that with my girlfriends because I love that concept. I guess the game plan with this stuff is, like we've talked about, growing the listenership will only benefit. And we've talked about so many different things and so many different angles, but growing the listenership, growing the engagement through those kinds of events, I have no doubt that at least half that room is going to go home and consider you guys, you know, think about it, listen to the podcast, look up Rachel, whatever it is. And that's the point, isn't it? That's the point, because that turns into listenership, which can then turn into, I mean, you guys do an incredible job, in my opinion, of looking at monetization in different ways and creative ways. And that's a big focus for lots of people right now. So, but that's where, you know, that is the point, isn't it? You know, growing the listenership, growing the engagement, and then getting to the golden egg, which is for everybody, really, the end of the rainbow podcasting that pays.
Thank you. And it's, you know, it's hard because I know you come to the table with these ideas. And then when we have the full-time jobs, and it's really, really has been really, really difficult for me to not go full steam ahead with this because I work at nights when my kids go to sleep and on weekends when my kids are napping. And that's just not going to do what I know needs to be done. So that's why I'm really excited for the next chapter when I can sink my teeth into these ideas and actually start building our empire.
Yeah, with conviction, yeah. Ellie.
Building our empire.
Too right. As much as it's nice to go full steam ahead at day one, it's okay to have that roadmap. It's okay to look ahead and know, you know, this is where we want to get to. These are the ideas we're heading towards. And that's a big part of it for you guys, isn't it? You know, the stepping stones, you're going in a certain direction. And that's encouraging, actually.
Yeah, it gives us a lot to look forward to. And we love to get together and drink and be business bitches and plan and write on walls and post-its and stuff. It's like really, really fun to see the growth and make it happen. So cool.
I love that vibe. I love all the phrases you use, actually. And I wish I could be as cool as you in terms of using them, because I don't think I have that with my British accent. I don't think I can do it. But I have a lot of respect for you using words like business bitch.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Okay, well, honestly, Ellie, like, I can't thank you enough. It's really lovely to just reflect on some of the stuff that we've done. And I have no doubt I'll be following your progress and, you know, as things just continue on that same road that you're on. You've done so many things already, and there's obviously still, you know, so many things to do. But if you could pick one lesson that you could pass on to aspiring podcasters or just people in general, you know, what would that be?
Well, I'm going to go with the aspiring podcasters route. I remember telling myself in the beginning of this when I was kind of like, oh, I'm not getting as much sleep and I'm, you know, missing out on time with my kids. I remember saying to myself, if I'm not making money in the first five seasons, like by season five, then it's going to be time to reconsider. And here we are going into season four, and I'm like, no way. I'm way too passionate about this. If I never make money off of this, yeah, that's going to kind of suck, but I still feel really good about what we're doing. And I feel like it's changing, you know, people's lives. And even if it wasn't, it's changing mine. So that's good enough for me. So my advice to future podcasters is make sure you're doing something that you're really passionate about, because it takes a lot of you, and at least for us, who have this great idea. I love everything about us. We still haven't hit the end of the rainbow, as you're saying, or the pot of gold. You know, it still hasn't happened. But if I wasn't passionate about it, I would have given up a long time ago. So my advice, find the thing that you're like very, very passionate about. For me, I was so passionate about counseling and I was so passionate about editing. It's like the two biggest things in my life just combined. And I would not be continuing on if I didn't love it so much.
Such a great combination. It's very, very true. You guys are so passionate about what you do. And I think you are the perfect kind of role models for people who are aspiring to build their own thing. And you're absolutely doing that. It's amazing to see. But I also think what you've just said is really good advice for life in general. Honestly, being involved in things you're passionate about, you can see the people who do that and the people who don't do that. And there are some people who light up when they talk about what they do in their day and or their passions, you know, and others who don't. So I fully, fully agree with you.
In John's latest episode, he quits his job and he is like constantly sad about he's not doing the right thing, you know, and he tries to get these hardcore jobs. He tries to go to school. He tries to be this like really manly man. But all he wants to do is go on the farm and raise chickens. And he has a lot of battling against that choice. And Rachel, it's constantly like, what is your truth? What do you want? What does your body want? And so going back to, you know, doing things you're passionate about, even though it's scary, following what you're passionate about, that's just the answer. It will work out 100%. So, you know, I hope that I can be an example for people of doing it even though they're scared. I'm so scared to leave teaching. But I feel really passionate about this and I feel like it's going to work out and I believe that it will.
I love that so much. And I have no doubt with the attitude that you've got, the skills that you've got, the experience you've built and the product, you know, the actual podcast you're working on. Yeah, I have no doubt it's going to be a success. So I'm really excited for you. I'm really excited to see where it goes. Genuinely, I'm going to be cheering on and supporting. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Ellie, for being our guest on the Podcasting Playbook. And thank you for tuning in and getting to know a little more about what we do at Pineapple. Don't forget to follow and review for more podcast episodes coming your way soon. Bye for now.